Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to our office hours call for the month of September 2019. And these are the calls where we have this joining of all our different programs that come together. We have our sweet spot solution, and we have some people in our grand gut repair program, and some people who are in adrenal, some people in thyroid, and some people are in body balance, which has all of those. And then other people who are in our energy recharge inner circle, which has all of those. And then, you know, lots of personalized coaching for a year. So all of us come together and we all ask questions. And what I ask of you is when you ask a specific question, the first time you ask a question for the day, let me know which program you're in. Because if I know which program you're in, then I'll know how to answer you based on, you know, if I have want you to refer to certain materials or recipes or whatever in the program, so I'll know which program you're in, if the answer is in there. Okay. Cindy said, I have to leave in 20 minutes and see the doctor and ask a question in Q&A. So I will start that way. So there's three ways to get questions answered. One is in the chat. One is in the Q&A. Both of those are written. If it gets really busy, it's best to copy and put it in the chat, like if I don't see it, because it goes strolls by pretty fast on chat if a lot of people are chatting. And then on the call, if you raise your hand, star two, or you hit the button that says raise hand, I'll open your line and we can chat. So I'm going to start with Cindy, since she said she has to leave. And let's see what Cindy's question is. Cindy says, I have a UTI since July 16th. Ouch. I went on a macro bid. I'm assuming that's an antibiotic, for 7 days and thought I would die. I had a 102 to 103 temp, zero energy, no appetite, couldn't even open my eyes. I believe I had an allergic reaction, but at the same time, I thought I just got the flu. Finished the antibiotic on September 4th and have not felt myself. Believe I still have the UTI. Sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't. I just got lab work back that my C-reactive protein is 129.39. TSH is 0.086, that's very low. T4 is 8.8, that's fine. T3 is 68, that's low. T4 free 104, that's good. T3 free 1.4 is extremely low. Homocysteine 13.5 is high. Insulin 11.8 is high. It's probably my UTI that's wreaking havoc on your body. We'll see what my MD says, but wanted your opinion. I've been following body balance and doing my elimination diet. Yeah, so first of all, the C-reactive protein will go up with an infection. That is very high. Usually you want to see it like, you know, under 3 for sure, and I like to see it under 1, like 0.3 is good. So that is, but some of these other things are not necessarily related to this current acute situation. You have a thyroid issue. It's probably been there a while because your numbers, your T3 numbers are very low. Now, it could be related to the infection because during infections, body is going to preferentially move the T4 down to reverse T3. So those are things I would want you to definitely get again once this is over to make sure, because it's very low. Usually I see a little bit of low when there's an infection, but that's very, very low. So it's probably started out low. Homocysteine generally doesn't go up from a UTI, although, I mean, it's certainly a possibility, but homocysteine usually is related to vitamins B12, folate, and B6. Your insulin is 11.9, and it could be, that could be related, as for infection causing a lot of stress in the body and causing a lot of sugar to be released, to raise the sugar to deal with the stress. So all of that stuff could be, but I would definitely recommend that after you get this under control, that you go back and redo these things again. So as far as my opinion, yeah, a lot of people have allergic reactions to antibiotics. It sounds like that was an allergic reaction. And sometimes they don't kill off the problem. They don't kill the problem. So some of the post-antibiotic stuff you feel like you have low energy and you feel you just don't have any, what do you say, you just don't feel like yourself, yeah, something like that. Anyway, I would say that you're going to have to make sure you replenish your gut, and anytime you take an antibiotic, anytime, you should be taking probiotics during the time you're taking it, not at the same time. but in between. So say you're prescribed an antibiotic that is first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Okay, great. In between, you're going to take big high doses of a probiotic. Hard to say which one because I don't know a full history on you, but if you have any kind of SIBO, you'd want to take something that's D-lactate free or just a plain Bifido, but you just want to take something that's going to prevent the opportunistic bugs from taking hold of your gut and making you feel really bad. So I would start that right away. That's one thing. I don't know what you've been doing for this UTI, but from a natural perspective, there are a couple of things. One is a supplement I like called Uristatin from Thorne. Take it according to the directions. I've had really great results with people knocking out things and very quickly with that. And it's not for everybody, but that's one possibility. Another one is a tincture. It's a urinary tract tincture that Herbalist and Alchemist has. And I can't remember the exact name, but it's Uris something. And I would look into something along those lines. There are herbs. And then vitamin C. I would get vitamin C to bowel tolerance. A couple of other things that can help knock this out would be D-mannose and cranberry extract, not sweetened cranberry. Okay, so all of these things can help support you. Also, immune system, overall immune system. It sounds like you're doing some of that with the elimination diet, so stick with the elimination diet. Keep off of the sugars. And I would want to know, did they do a culture? So one of the things you're going to want to do is culture that UTI, culture the urine, and see what the bug is. Because maybe that they gave you sort of a generic and that wasn't working. But even from the standpoint of natural stuff. If you get the book Herbal Antibiotics from Stephen Buhner, B-U-H-N-E-R, and you find out what the bug is, he has a lot of really good references in there. If there's this bug living in the bladder versus colon, then this is some of the stuff that you can do to support getting rid of that. So I would definitely recommend you look at that. You're going to your ND, so hopefully your ND will have some recommendations there. But I would recommend definitely a culture. And then once you do the culture, then you'll know what the bug is, and then you'll know how to approach it from an herbal standpoint. That's the thing I would be doing. You know, do the dipstick urine test. That's what they're going to do to tell if it's still there. But some of these things might be related and some of these aren't. So I would say, you get the thing under control, but then go back and redo some of these things. Because, yeah, the C-reactive protein could be 6 weeks before it goes back down to normal. I've seen that go up. I've not seen it quite that high. I've seen it at 28.9, and maybe the one got in there erroneously. You have 128, but that's extremely high. The TSH down, I don't know if you're on thyroid medication, so there's a lot of that stuff. And I would bring some of this to the next body balance call, and let's talk about it. Okay, and also you have those small group. I think you have the small group call still. I'm not sure with Lynn, and bring them to there too. Okay, good luck with that, Cindy. Lou says I have access to my raw DNA using in ERC data through Ancestry, not 23andMe, which I can download. Will the Ancestry format work with the other analytical programs you suggest? Yes, and not all of them. So it will work with Genetic Genie. It'll work with, I believe, Stratagene. I think it also works with Metabolic Healing. We don't think it works with, maybe they've changed it, but last time I looked, it didn't work with the my favorite one, which is Genetic Detoxification. And you have access to our Nutrigenomics module. So in there, I have on the, I think it's the first page of the intro, I think that's where it is, says what programs I recommend, but the ones I just mentioned, of those, I would get Genetic Genie is free, and then Stratagene is a good report, but it's more complicated. I think if I had to choose between Stratagene and Metabolic Healing, I'd choose Metabolic Healing. And I don't think you'll have a choice unless you get the 23andMe to get the other. But hold off a little bit. I'm actually speaking to somebody today who is offering an alternative to 23andMe, and I want to find out if it's going to be good. So before you spend more money and get the 23andMe Basic, which would work, but it's missing a lot of things it used to have, let me find out after I speak to this person, and I'll announce it to the EOC group. And you don't need to get the full one to get access to the raw data. You just need to get the $99 basic one. But hold off on that for a little bit, Liz. All right. So that's it on the questions that were typed. Let's see if there's more, and then I'll go to the phone. Diana, I have a simple question dealing with overabundance of tomatoes. I'm looking for suggestions on how to prepare pulp to dehydrate for tomato powder or even ferment them for the same purpose. Looking for new ways to save the harvest. Certainly fermented, just go online and look up ways to ferment them. I know Steph Jackson does, she does a fermented a paste, like a salsa. That's one thing. There's some fermented srirachas I've seen on the market, you know, where you put some spices in there and you make like a sriracha, kind of a hot sauce type of thing. But Steph definitely does the fermented salsas. That's a really good way to do it. As far as dehydrated, I didn't know that you would have to do anything special. I would just normally slice some into slices, put them on the dehydrator trays, dehydrate it, they'll get crispy, and then you can put them in the dry container or a dry container in a Vitamix and just pour it up and turn it into powder. If you ever do that, don't take the lid off until you let it settle, because you'll lose a lot. It'll just come flying out. The powder will come flying out in the air. So that's a way to do it. But yeah, I love the idea of salsa or fermented, just whole slices of tomatoes fermented could be awesome. And I don't have a specific recipe. I think it's all fairly similar, but Steph Jackson, or go online and Google it, would be a great way to do it. Get it. All right. So let's go back to, chat. Let's see if there's anything here. Cindy said, I'm taking $60 billion. And did you take it throughout? Make sure you know, for it, if it has to do. Let's see. Okay, let's see. I can hear you. Okay. So David asked the question, is there a way to know whether a product contains unlabeled ingredients? Right? That's like we have to read their minds. That's the thing. I'm not sure unless you can actually contact the company and ask and hope that they're honest. But I know that you asked specifically about olive oil. There's been a big controversy about people them putting stuff in olive oil and you know, like cutting it and it not really be full olive oil. Now, I know that if there's under a certain percentage that they don't have to list the ingredients. So that's the thing. You think you have to call the companies or just find a company you really do trust and you can trust the owners. Cheap zinc supplement gave me symptoms I only get from MSG. Wow. And when you say a cheap zinc supplement, am I assuming that you bought it like it, you know, the over-the-counter discount markets? I don't trust any of those supplements unless certain companies I use. And you have access to my supplements guide in Body Balance. And I would just stick to the tried and trues. If you go to Dr. Supplement Store, there's a lot of good brands there. But I'm always looking, and I give you information in that supplements guide in Body Balance that you just want to avoid certain kinds of things. And sometimes they may not list it, but those cheaper brands, and they have excipients and dyes and all kinds of stuff, so I'd be careful with that. Yeah, you're right, Diane. A certain percentage, they don't have to tell you. Buddy, can mood disorders get detected in a brain scan? You know, Dr. Amen does brain scans, and he can tell specific things about that. I don't know how accurately he diagnoses, but he can actually see. He has done so many that he knows that there's certain mood disorders and, you know, ADD and those kind of things that are showing up a certain way. If not, what tests can be done to confirm diagnosis? You know, it depends on what kind of mood disorder you mean. And, you know, I don't think with any of these there's ever a complete confirmation of diagnosis. It's usually a list of symptoms, you know, the DSM whatever list, and it says, hey, you know, if you have five out of the six of these, but a lot of it is up to subjective consideration, especially things like ADD. So my question becomes, why do you need a confirmed diagnosis, or why do you even want a confirmed diagnosis? You know, if there's stuff going on in your brain and your brain isn't functioning properly, it's like we start with the basics of nourishing it well. We start with avoiding toxins, avoiding gluten, and getting on a clean diet. And there's a whole bunch of things that you can do for that. Let's see. It's raining. Lynn Rose is in Austin. We haven't seen rain in a long time, so it lasted a couple of minutes. We need rain. Lynn Rose said, Dr. Suzanne's kimchi, and is that in answer to Diana's question about what to do with the tomatoes? Sharon, at the implementation call, you said on the office hours, you can look at the results of my Dutch test and Dr. Jada comprehensive stool test. I have uploaded the results. Okay, so where have you uploaded the results so I know, and I'll look at that. And I don't see, let me ask Angelica, because I did ask her and she said she had them, but they were on her computer. That's why I didn't see them. So she was going to upload them for me. Let me get through these and then I'll come back to that, Sharon. Let's see. The rain lasted a whole minute. We'll get back to that. Wow, you used all of that, Cindy. I'd definitely get a test. Definitely get a test and see what it is. And Lynn Rose said, get a homeopathic kit and she'll give you a UTI recipe. Awesome. Thank you, Diana. Appreciate that. And the herbal antivirals, I like that one too. Self-Decode has a test kit. I got it. I'm waiting for the results. I haven't looked at theirs yet. Okay. Just slice rough tomatoes and put in a freezer container. Take out the air and freeze them using soup stews. And well, that sounds cool too. Dried tomato slices, you know, when you just make them and use them in different things. I love them that way. Love running out of freezer room. Yeah. So if you, freezing smoothies is a great idea. Freeze zucchini. I've been having so much fun with frozen zucchini. Freeze it into little, like 1 to 2 inch chunks. And I've been using it to make ice cream. It's been phenomenal. All right. Well, if you have tomatoes and peppers, I'd be doing some salsas. And check with Steph on the recipe for her salsa. She did it. She demonstrated it on one of our, or talked about it on one of our calls, last year's Jean's Diet and Health Seminar. On day one, the end of the day. Okay, so I'm going to go. Oh, there's no tomatoes and kimchi. Okay, sorry. I thought you could do kimchi from anything. Okay, the results are in your Google Drive. Okay, cool. She sent you the results. Okay, I'll look at that. Let me go look at that. And it looks like we have one hand up, which I think is Mary in Toronto. And I'm going to open up your line so you can ask a question while I go searching for Sharon's tracker. I didn't even know you had a tracker in Body Balance, so that's cool. Well, if I did, but I didn't know. Give me a second. Let's see. Sharon. Okay, Sharon, remind me your last name. Is this me? Sharon Kasson. Oh, I don't see it there. Body Balance members, Sharon, but I don't see a tracker. Damn. Let me text Angelica. Okay, I just wrote to Angelica, and as soon as we get a response from her, or if you have a link to your tracker and you want to put it up there, nobody else will be able to see it because they don't have access to it. But if you just put it in the chat there, Sharon, I'll take a look at it that way. All right. So I hear you. Oh, I hear your line open. Now I'm trying to find my way back. Oh, I didn't see your question, Christy, at the beginning. Let me go back. Christy, your question is said, is this for Sweet Spot and or all programs? Christy. I want to ask about a possible scenario. Got tested. A1C is 5.5, insulin 2.9. And 0.69, what does that mean? 2.9 and 0.69, two different times. I'm not sure what that means, the 0.69. It was once the insulin 2.9 and once 0.69. I would say that, you know, all but the insulin looks good. C-peptide, got it. Okay. Yeah, so the insulin looks good. Peptide looks good. I would say the A1C, I would love to see that come down. So I don't know, based on that on average 5.5 is, you know, it's close to their recommendation, you know, the cutoff for insulin resistance. And on average, I think that means your average is about 119. So you want to see if that relates to your numbers. If your numbers are not looking like there's any high numbers, then I would suggest that you look at vitamin B1, because sometimes we have higher A1C than we think should be. So that would be what I would look at. A1C, I like it to be about 5. You know, I'm okay with 4.8 to 5.2, but 5 is a really nice number. 5 is a really nice number. Okay, is that Mary there that I'm hearing click, click, click?
Oh, you can hear me.
Yes, I can.
Oh, I didn't even know it was live.
Oh, I opened you. I opened you and said go ahead while I'm waiting.
Oh. I didn't even hear you, and I thought I was waiting for you to finish whatever you were doing. I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear you. Okay. I thought you were still answering questions. Okay. I have some quick questions anyhow for you. By the way, I listened to your recording today from the 50 Ways of Wellness.
Yes.
So it was fantastic. It was great.
Oh, thank you. I didn't even remember which one that was. What did I talk about?
You talked about, lots of things. You talked about a little bit of the ketogenic diet. You talked about leptin. You talked about blood sugar was your main thing. So
cool.
It was very good. Yeah, it was really, really
Thank
well
you.
Done. You're such
Thank
an energetic
you.
Bunny. You're such an energetic bunny. I love it. okay, and you're on a day two of your fast, so am I.
No, I'm not on day. I started to eat.
When you did the recording.
Oh, when I was doing that, I was on day
three. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You did the recording. So I know how you feel. And which I have a question about day three in a minute. But let me ask you really quickly. So I love that last call that we had with you. You mentioned about broccoli sprout powder by Natural Foods. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But they're in the bottom in very small writing. I was a little concerned. It has a warning that says cancer and reproductive harm. What the heck?
What?
On the bottom
of California garbage. Is that the California thing that they have to put on stuff?
Oh, yes, it is. California Prop 65 warning.
Yeah, ignore it.
Ignore it?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of garbage with that, and they have that on almost everything. Almost everything has to have that label.
Oh, okay. I'm like, broccoli sprouts is supposed to be good for cancer. I'm like,
broccoli sprouts are anti-cancer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Really
ignore. Yeah. Ignore. Okay, good. All right, really question about I have a question about my TSH. So I got some tests that I just done a couple of weeks ago. My TSH came back. It's been going up and down and all around. My T4 and T2 had been too, but I had my TSH in range, conventional range. And I've always had trouble with T3, but now my T4, my T3 are pretty nicely in range, but my TSH is like, low, which indicates hyperthyroid, but it's like even negative, like it's minus low. You know what I mean?
It can't be minus. So, 0.0 whatever, but it can't be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so I'm confused. How is T4 and T3 in line? TSH is not in line. And what am I doing wrong? I know right now I'm doing a heavy metal detox with Dr. Mindy, the woman that interviewed you.
Yeah.
And so she's telling me don't worry about it because she thinks it's connected to heavy metals. But you know what? In any of all your courses that I've taken and stuff like that, we don't really dive into heavy metals too much. Or did I miss something along a module that you talked about heavy metals?
No, modules, but I dive into it with people as they need it.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as when the TSH goes super low and the other numbers are normal, I'm concerned about pituitary. I want to make sure that there's no problem with the pituitary, having issues and not being able to make enough of it.
Right. Okay. And actually, that's what Dr. Mindy also, I think, mentioned as well. So she said, when I do the brain phase, the brain phase of the particular, this is the one that is, this particular heavy metal detox is a detox that is, Dr. Pompa's sort of cellular detox.
Yeah, with the cellular,
Yeah, I'm not sure how familiar you are with that. But so when I get to the brain phase, I believe we're hoping that that's going to help the pituitary gland and everything else in my brain.
Yeah, I would say if you're going through heavy metal detox, just ride it out. She'll tell you how long after, because you don't want to test right after heavy metal detox, because things can be kind of messy, you know. So she'll tell you how long to ride it out before. My guess is like 6 weeks after you finish, two months after you go back and do your tests again.
Oh, to retest. Okay. So you wait that long. Okay. Yeah, I was excited to do it right after, but okay, that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if you do it right after, because I think the body's still in flux then.
Right. It needs still probably some time to adjust and do whatever it has to.
Yeah,
that totally makes sense. Okay, well, I'm doing something right because my T3 was never really budging much, and it finally is, so I'm kind of happy about that. So that's a good thing. Okay, great. I have just one really other quick question. And so I'm right now doing this week. I'm doing a 5-day fast, and I bonk in day 3. Can you give me any tips or recommendation of how to get past that? I'm exhausted. I wake up in the morning. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so exhausted. Like, I can't even get out of bed.
Oh,
and
what are you saying?
What's that?
How do you get past the exhaustion on day 3?
Yeah.
Sleep.
Really?
Seriously, it's just common. It's when the body is shifting mostly, when you're getting towards maximum autophagy, but, you know, the ketones, you're not quite adapted to burning full on ketones. Your glycogen is gone. It's just about going. And so you're hitting a wall almost, like there's the glycogen is gone, but the ketones haven't kicked in. And so day 3, you just have to, you have to plan for it being a low activity day and rest and take care of yourself. I mean, you could try electrolytes. Sometimes that helps. But I think it's just that. I mean, if you want to try exogenous ketones to bump that up, that might help.
But my ketones are high. I'm doing my ketones like 3 days
a day. Yeah, but you
haven't
had much to be able to use it, so. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't.
How high are your ketones?
Oh, I mean, they can go anywhere from, I mean, I've had them as high as like 6.
Okay. But on day 3.
Yeah. You know what? That's a good question. What was my day today? That's a good question. No, today's day 2. So, that's a good question. I'm going to have to check and see where my ketones are. So what's an ideal number?
Well, maybe that you just haven't switched to your body using, like, the first 3 days, you still have glycogen. So you're still able to access sugars and burn them. Once you do 3, you know, pretty much your glycogen stores are gone and you have to rely on that. And it just takes sometimes 24 hours. And then by day 4, you're like, oh, that was fine. So I don't know of any specific ways other than try electrolytes, rest.
What about salt?
Salts, yeah. You could put a little bit of sea salt in your water.
Okay.
Electrolytes, magnesium, things like that. But otherwise, I think it's really ride it out. It's just the way it goes.
Right. And then on day 5, I've only done it one 5. This is my second 5-day fast. I've only done it once before. And I was the first time around, it was great. But day 5, I was achy with back pain and having trouble restless sleeping because I was my hips were sore. I heard that's kind of normal, but what do you do? Do you just ride that out as well?
Yeah, so sometimes, like, your body really kicks into maximum detox, and it's trying to clear out areas that have accumulations. So I've never had that on day five. I usually, by day five, I'm feeling really good, except I'm weak and I want to exercise again, but I can't. So I eat again on day six. So, what do you do? I mean, you could do Epsom salt baths. You
can beforehand,
like do it the day before.
Okay.
You could do, if you're not opposed to a little bit of ginger juice, that's like not really breaking your fast, but you know, that kind of thing, or herbal like ginger tea. So you're not actually getting the juice itself, but ginger tea could be good. And any kind of, extra, you know, do you take supplements during the fast, or you stay away from them?
No, everything is pure.
Yeah, we really just do the pure. I would try Epsom salt baths, and maybe even a homeopathic, something like a homeopathic, anti-inflammatory type homeopathic. Lynn Rose may have some other ideas. She can pop into the
like
chat.
Like an arnica or something?
Well, I wasn't thinking arnica because it's more like for bruising and blood kind of related.
Oh, true.
I'm not sure if I'm on a homeopath, which particular ones are maybe good for the muscle ache kind of inflammation type of thing that's going on. It might be spasm, which is why I said Epsom salt bath.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm going to try the Epsom salt bath the day before, which is a good suggestion. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
That's awesome. Great. Thank you so much for all your
You're
help.
You're welcome. Okay, we're still trying to find those labs. Lynn, Angelica doesn't know where she put them. I'm going to go looking on the Google Drive. I found your name. Is it Sharon C? Is that what your last name is? I'm pretty sure that's what your last name is, right? With the C-A-S-S-A-N? Is that it? Let's see. Let me go back here. Ruxtox here. So Lynn Rose responded, Ruxtox and Ruta maybe, but you really need to address the cause, right? So if she's having like this every time she does a fast on day five, and something comes up, there will be some lingering underlying inflammatory stuff going on. Is that what you mean? Okay, but she said you. I'm trying really hard to get your things, Sharon. And I'm gonna look on the line because you said you have seen them on your Google Drive. Let's see. I'm going to look to see if somebody put them on my Dropbox folder. I know last time they weren't there, but labs, non-ERC, Sharon, okay, I got you Dutch, Sharon. But I don't see a stool test there. Okay. So, Sharon, are you there? If you can be on the phone, that would be helpful because I may have some questions to ask you. It's really hard to read somebody's labs and give them an interpretation in a vacuum. So if you're on the phone, go ahead and put your hand up. And if you're not, then go ahead and get on the phone. It would be helpful. But in the meantime, I'll do my best. All right. So, your hormones are low, not surprisingly. Your testosterone is very low. Your progesterone's within the menopausal range, but your estradiol is lower than that. From an adrenal perspective, your 24-hour free cortisol is through the roof. I mean, you're producing so much cortisol. Your morning one is high, at the very high end of normal. Your midday one is way higher than normal. It comes back to normal in the afternoon and the evening, but you've got way high free cortisol, very low DHEA. So you're in a stage one adrenal state, which is where you're overproducing. You're in that sympathetic dominant. Your body's working it out, but it needs to be dealt with, or you're going to end up crashing. metabolize cortisol. And this might be why your testosterone's so low, your DHA is so low, because you're stealing all of the precursor down to making the cortisol itself. Let's see what the other picture looks like. So the progesterone's in normal postmenopausal range, but all the estrogens are lower. Fortunately, the E3 is not quite as low, but your estrogen quotient, which is E1 plus E2, is greater than E3, so that puts you in a place where it's not a favorable position. Fortunately, I mean, they're all so low, it's not putting you at a very serious place, but your 16-hydroxy, which can be important in bone metabolism, is extremely low. Fortunately, your two is decent, but your four is a little on the high side. So your 16 is low comparatively speaking. Wait a minute. Yeah, your 16 is on the low side. Your four is on the high side. So it's not a good ratio. Let me talk about that. So yeah, the overall amount of 16 is very low because your E3 is low. Your 4-hydroxy is in the normal menopausal range, but in proportion to everything else, it's more of a proliferation. Although fortunately your methylation is high, it's good. So I'm not concerned about that. Although you might be over methylating. Let's see. Yeah, and if you could get on or type in and remind me what specific stuff we're working with here. Your, your melatonin is a little on the low side, but not terrible. Total DHA is very low, metabolized cortisol. You're almost balanced with cortisol and cortisone, but it's just super high range. The cortisol is way higher, way, way higher. Okay. Your markers, your organic acid markers are, the vitamin ones are, and glutathione ones are within range. Your melatonin is at the low end of the range. Your oxidation one, the last one, is within range. So those are all good. Some neurotransmitter things going on. You've got, the dopamine metabolite is below the range and the norepinephrine is at the low end of the range. So there's some issues, with neurotransmitters, depending on where you're. Yeah, let me look here again. I'm trying to do this in a short period of time because these are, like when I do these with people in ERC, we spend like a whole hour going through all of this step by step by step. So I'm trying to give you the highlights and I'll give you like the takeaways. Takeaway is you're going to need to calm down these adrenals. So, of course, the stuff like meditation and breathing and heart math are super important throughout your day. But there are some herbs you could take to try to lower some of these cortisol responses. One of my favorites happens to be magnolia bark. Magnolia is really good at helping to bring it down. The other thing would be phosphatidylserine, which is an amino acid derivative. Oh, you're on the phone now. Star 2 raises your hand. Where are you from so I can see? It doesn't have your name, but I see you're in BC, right? Are you Kelowna? Is that you? Star 2 will raise your hand, Sharon. Or if you're on the web call, there's something that says raise hand. There you go. It was who I thought it was. Okay. Sharon?
Hi there.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi.
So, as far as this is concerned, you're going to have to get those adrenals calmed down. So, cause it's stealing away your other hormones and that's not a good place to be. Plus all the dangers of high cortisol, which is, affecting your gut. It's affecting your blood pressure, possibly. So tell me a little bit more, about what are you doing for mindfulness practices?
I have been doing, well, I was doing heart math, and I, you know, that busy monkey brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, I have a pond that I walk by every morning when on my morning walk. And so I've been taking time to just sort of sit beside it and sort of take it in. And so I try to use that with my heart math. But then I find that, you know, I'm sort of analyzing too much, or, you know, am I trying to visualize this scene or this scene? And so I've started instead doing a Soham meditation.
Hmm. Nice. Did we just lose you? I heard a little funny beep. You still there? Oops, we lost her. Hopefully she comes back. There you are. You're open now. Can you talk again?
Okay. I can.
Oh, yeah. You disappeared and then now you're back. Okay. So you're doing this Soham meditation?
I do it.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that what you
found? Yes, I found it worked the best for me before meals.
Beautiful. So you're doing that before meals?
Yes.
Another thing for you is to really look at, like, set a timer or something to remind you to just take that one breath, right? Just to take that one breath and shift yourself at least into neutral. Big, deep belly breath. Let your shoulders drop, your neck relax. And the more you do it throughout the day, the better it's going to come.
Okay. You said my cortisol is high in the morning. You know, when
your cortisol
go to bed,
is at a very high end of the range in the morning. And when you go to bed, it's reasonable. Let me go back here. When you go back to bed, it's in normal range, and even in the late afternoon, but it's really in that early part of the day. It's high on waking, and then it goes much, much higher in that morning phase, much higher than it should. So that's the time of day where you need a lot of. Well,
what would cause that? Just being too busy?
Being too stressed, and not having the ability to shift out of that range of, you know, stress. Stuff that happens in the morning that's more stressful than, yeah.
In the afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I just hit the wall. I'm just so tired. I lay down for a while. And, I can't even read. That's just too much effort. And I just put on a guided meditation and listen to that. I put a dark cloth or something over my eyes to cut the light, and I find that really helps, even if I just do that for half an hour.
Yeah. I'm not surprised you're hitting a wall. So here's what's happening. You're making a right amount of cortisol. That's what's called the metabolized cortisol off to the right-hand side of that first page. You're making even on the lower end of it, but you're using, like, you're mobilizing tons of it. Right. So you're using more than you're making, which is fine for a while, but it's kind of like the bank account that wears out and then you crash. And so you're using a lot of this in the morning and you crash because you don't even make enough to keep up with all of this without the outlay.
Mm-hmm.
So really focusing on those things, really focusing on a good night's sleep. You're okay when you go to bed, but you're high when you wake up.
And I don't
so
sleep well.
So it could be that, and you don't sleep well. So you're having a stressful sleep. And looking at, are there things that keep you awake or wake you up?
Not that I'm aware of. I go to bed and I fall asleep just fine.
Yep.
You know, maybe wake up 2 o'clock, have to go to the bathroom or something like that, and I'll go back to bed and go to sleep okay. And then around 3 o'clock is when I wake up and have difficulty sleeping.
Okay. My guess is that your cortisol is starting to rise at that point when it shouldn't be. It should be starting to rise much later in the morning. And so it's starting to rise, and now it's like you're awake, right? It's you're supposed to be awake when the cortisol is high. So it's keeping you awake. So we need to shift the rhythm. couple of things that you could try is in the middle, like when you wake up at 2 to go to the bathroom, you're able to go back to sleep pretty easily. I would, if you can, I mean, if you want to experiment with some supplements for that, right? Phosphatidylserine or magnolia. And you can play with both to see if they work, you know, one works better than the other, or if the combination of the two, the synergy of the two works well. But you, that will help you to calm that rhythm down and maybe keep it from coming up. It may take a couple of weeks to get it to normalize. It's not going to be like you take it once and it's going to work. But it's like, okay, let's lower that down, let's lower that down. And then once you get up in the morning, first thing is to actually take some of that again to calm you down. And that may help prevent you wasting all this cortisol in the morning and then crashing in the early afternoon.
Okay.
Okay. And look at them and do research and see which one feels better. I posted, no, you're not in that group. It was in the magnolia bark. I found a really good one. I'm going to just find it and put it in here. You can either do it as a tincture. There's a company called Hawaii Farm, I think it is. Magnolia. I'm going to put this link to this article that I really liked. WebMD, where was it?
Where are you putting a link in the
chat? I'm
going to
put it in the chat, in the chat there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So magnolia bark is only available as a tincture?
No, you can get it as a tincture or a powder. That's what I'm looking up for you to get the. I found a really good article on it. I think I maybe put it in magnolia for sleep. Psychology Today. Now, where was that? It's a really good article. Oh, this one. Okay, I'm going to send you this link because it talks a lot about magnolia and all the benefits of magnolia. And then I'm going to send you, I'm going to put it in the chat as well. And anybody else who wants to explore it, feel free. Let's see. Here we are. All right. So chat, and this is magnolia. Oh, yeah. Claudia said she got magnolia, the powder in it. Oh, my chat disappeared. I have to log back in. Give me a second. Okay, start chat. Okay. Here, I'll give you that, and then I'll give you the link, and then I'll talk about how to use it, some of these bitter herbs. The bitter herbs are actually good for your digestion, so it's not bad. And everybody's a little bit different. So I wouldn't just take a new herb that you haven't tried before and stick it in your smoothie because it could ruin the taste of your whole smoothie. So you'd more want to, you know, like I would say create a little tea. I tried it. I ordered it. I tried it. I can't remember what I did to it. But you can make it like a little beverage. So you can put it in a cup and put in a little bit of coconut milk powder or just coconut milk, put in some drops of stevia, and clean it up so that it tastes okay. There's a lot of ways to make it taste better. Okay, so I sent you that. Let me go to...
Yeah, what was the dosage of that E and the PS?
Say that again?
What dosage of phosphatidylserine would I take at the 3 a.m. and wake up?
Yeah, I would take, I think the capsules are usually around 100 milligrams. So I would start with one and then play around with it and do two or three based on, you know, you can get up to, studies have shown you can get up to 8 a day if you want, but that's expensive. Let me find, I just had that link here. Okay, so that's the, I just sent you the link to that. I'm going to find the magnolia. I mean, you can always take things in capsules. And Claudia, if you really can't get it used to it that way, try putting it in capsules. You can use some veggie caps and put it there. Magnolia is a particular brand I found on Amazon. Okay, magnolia. I can actually go to my Let me go to my my orders, because I know I ordered it about a month ago. Magnolia. But read that article, because there's a lot of really good benefits to magnolia. Here we go. It's Samsara was the one that I had ordered. And it comes as a powder. Wow, this is a big bag. I ordered it. They had a 2 ounce bag. So you might be able to find a 2 ounce bag, but this is what I'm finding now. Because usually when I'm trying something out, I don't want to try 4 ounces. I don't want to try 8 ounces. I want to try 1 or 2 ounces just to make sure I'm going to take it or flow. Diana said it works great. We all do. She does it at bedtime. And the other one was phosphatidyl serine.
Does the phosphatidyl serine take a while to work? Because I have tried it in the past, and it I didn't think it made a lot of difference to me.
You're not going to see it happen once or twice. It could take a week or two before you see subtle changes. Yeah. Mostly a couple of weeks. And then, so you have to be consistent with it. That's what Lynn Rose just wrote. It must take a couple of weeks. But try, I mean, there's so many other benefits to the magnolia, and it's just an herbal extract. And it, as long as you're, you know, careful, you don't overdo the dosing, the recommended dosing, I think you're going to see some, you know, there's a lot of benefits to it, right? It calms the central nervous system. It's good for anxiety. It's good for blood pressure, blood sugar. It's really helpful kind of herb that has a lot of different areas. So I would play with both of them and see which one. But you've got to get the cortisol down. It's no doubt.
Okay. Is magnolia bark your preference for me to try first?
Say that again.
Is magnolia bark the one that you would prefer that I try first?
You know, you've got to go with what you prefer. I generally like, I like to take herbs and foods before I take extracts and specific supplements and amino acids.
Okay.
That's just my bias. Oh, yeah. So there's another thing called, it's a cream, and it's from Apex, and it's called Adrenacom. And it has the phosphatidyl serine in it. I think it also has some magnolia and some other herbs in it as well. And you can take it topically. So that's another one to try. And I would still do it.
Who was that?
Apex, APAX Energetics. Diana just wrote the name in the chat. Yeah. And, you know, not everything works for everybody, right? So it's really a matter of finding. I've had people who, like, within 3 days of taking the Apex Adrenacom felt the difference, and others who went a couple of weeks, and some that took straight phosphatidyl serine and felt that in a couple of weeks as well. I do that one, too. So Diana's doing a bunch of these different ones. And Lynn Rose put a formulation from Zymogen in the chat that she's doing. Let's see what's in that one. I think that's got the cortisol. So it's for bringing the cortisol down. Stress busters. Okay. There's also, there's one from, what's the other one? There's another one. I don't use the formulas generally. I just like singles and working with them and then combining them. But, yeah. Okay, does this help? Do you feel like you're on the, yeah, I know we've talked now, you know, my mind is going back to our other conversations, is I know that we've talked about, like, wondering why you're having trouble sleeping, and I suspected the cortisol, and that's why you did the test. So, you know, the suspicion is correct. That's probably
and I'm not the
That's why you're having trouble sleeping with the high levels of cortisol.
Okay.
But it's not at bedtime. See, it's what's happening with you is it's fine at bedtime, but it's coming up earlier than it's supposed to in the middle of the night. And we've got to get that circadian rhythm back in shape.
Okay.
Okay.
So I don't understand that what is causing it to increase in the middle of the night when I'm asleep.
It could be an old pattern. It could be, you know, think through, were there times in your life where there was some kind of trauma that happened in the middle of the night? Could have been when you were a kid and, you know, dad got drunk and came home screaming and yelling at mom. There could have been a break and entry at some point in your life. For some people, it's they physically were assaulted in the middle of the night, you know, or incest or some sort of thing like that. So these are all the possibilities. In some cases, it could be a parasite, because sometimes they wake people up in the middle of the night.
And that was why I did the Dutch test, because you thought that could be the case.
Yeah, I thought the case would be.
The
stool test. Yes. And I'm looking and I don't see. She said I found it. There's the Dropbox. There's the Dutch. The only one we found is the Dutch. Is the stool test back? Was it loaded?
I've got it printed here. Yes, it was emailed to me.
Did Angelica email it to you?
Yes, I'm just going to my, I was on my iPad in the kitchen. I'm just going to my computer and I can give you a date. That was sent to me August 29th.
Okay.
The results are dated August 18th. And
okay.
She sent them August 29th.
Okay, she's going to look for it. I don't see it on my files, so she didn't upload it to my files. But she did email it to you. I'm going to have her copy me when she does those emails so I have access to them. Do you, in looking through your test, was anything flagged in terms of a parasite?
Where would I see that?
Bottom of page one, it would talk about Giardia, a bunch of others, and then on, I think also on page two.
In the comments at the bottom, it has the dates that it was collected, received, and reported.
A little bit above that.
Microscopic yeast, results,
yeah.
Rare.
Rare, okay. And below that?
Below that is when it says about the collection dates and receive date.
And what about the next page?
That's where it lists all the different, I guess, their bacteria. Nematodes, protozoa.
Okay. Does it say any of them positive?
The only thing it says is yeast, and it says rare under other markers.
Right, but where it says nematodes and all that, what does it say?
And none detected.
None detected, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Immunoassay.
Yeah.
Giardia.
Yeah.
And the result is negative.
Okay.
Cryptosporidium.
Yep.
Negative.
Good.
And then going to page three, vegetable fibers, it was rare, fat stain, few, elastane, 202.
What's so the range on that? I think that sounds fine.
I'm sorry?
What's the range on the, where it says elastase? What does it say the low to the high should be?
It says reference range greater than 200, and I'm at 202.
Okay, so you're on the low end of that. Okay, so probably could benefit from some digestive enzymes.
I have been taking them.
You have been? How often and how much? You may need to up them. Or change the brand. How much do you take?
I'm just getting my bottle.
Oh, okay, good.
What I'm taking is Macrogest, the plant enzyme formula.
Okay.
And I've been taking one at each meal.
One at each meal. Okay. So I would recommend that you go at least on any, like a main meal where it's a heavier meal, that you do, you up that. So you might even want to just go to two a meal and then maybe three a meal and see how you feel. You may notice a difference in your digestion and how your body feels and how satiated you feel, et cetera.
Okay. Anything else you want me to read from here? Now, for inflammation, lactoferrin, reference range is less than 7.3 and I'm at 0.5. All of those markers for inflammation,
yeah,
I'm within range.
All the markers for inflammation, you're in range. Good. Okay, good. Right. And then go to the first page again, because the first page shows us your normal flora. And some of those, like our GABA producers and some of those, you know, dopamine, and they're going to influence your neurotransmitters. And you do have some neurotransmitter markers in your Dutch that are off. So I'm curious to see what it says. It should list like lactobacillus acidophilus and bifidus and a whole bunch on the left-hand side, which is your normal flora. Sorry, I'm doing this in the dark because I have no idea where she, I think she still has it on her own computer. So.
The expected beneficial flora?
Yeah, yeah.
Bacteriotes, is that what it is? Fragilis group, it says 3+.
Okay.
Bifido, 2+. I don't even know how to say the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the E. coli, 3+.
Okay. Okay.
Lactobacillus, 2+, and Enterococcus, is it? 3+.
Okay.
Clostridium, 3+.
Okay. So your lacto and your bifido are low compared to the others. Do you notice that you get bloated after eating?
I don't feel bloated after eating, but I do know that my abdomen is larger by later in the day, certainly by evening, than it is in the morning.
Okay. Like by a lot, not just by like going at 8, no, it's a little bit bigger.
No, it's quite a bit more.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest a couple of probiotics that I think would be helpful for you. Actually, just one. It's from a company called Custom Probiotics, and it's called D-Lactate Free probiotic.
Okay.
And you'll start with very small, like they give you a little scoop. They give you a baby scoop, I think, and a big scoop. Start with a baby scoop and just a little bit, just to make sure, because as you're recolonizing, there's going to be some die-off, and we don't want to do too fast because you'll end up with, you know, a little irritation down in your gut. So start with a little bit and then increase it a little bit and then increase it a little bit and then increase it a little bit. Okay.
And how often do I take that?
I would take it, I find that either first thing in the morning before you take anything or last thing at night, and just play with that and see which one feels better.
Okay.
Okay. Are you taking probiotic foods?
Well, I take a coconut yogurt.
Okay.
That has a probiotic in it.
Right.
I was taking kefir, but with doing the blood sugars, I did quit taking that because I was afraid it was raising the blood sugar too much.
Okay. Yeah, so I'd say it's just not enough. It's just not enough of the balance of the bifidobacter and the lactobacillus to bring that up. So try the supplementation, the extra supplementation, at least for a little while, maybe a few months, and see how that feels and see if it makes a difference. Because I've found that sometimes people will take a probiotic before going to bed, and then they sleep better.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because it says compensal imbalance flora, alpha hemolytic strep, bacillus.
That's in the second column, right? The second grouping?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So those guys are normal flora, but they are out of growth. They're growing out of control because some of the others aren't keeping them in control. So you need to get the lacto and the bifido up. Anything in the last column, which is pathogenic?
The dysbiotic flora?
Yes. Yes.
Enterobacter.
So you do
4+.
Ooh.
And Providencia 3+.
Okay. I would start with where we just talked about, but let's revisit this on the next body balance call and let's see how you're doing on these suggestions. Because you may have to do something like a biocidin or something else to get rid of those. Now, on one of the last pages, does it list those bugs and say these are the is a sensitivity page? Because there it would tell you a little bit more.
Where it says low sensitivity and high sensitivity?
Yes, yes, okay. That's the page, save that page. Okay, we're going to go over that, and I'll have it in front of me on the next body balance call because I really want to talk to you about that. But first, I want you to get some of this stuff into place, some of the things to calm your cortisol down and some of the stuff to get your normal flora up to speed, and then the enzymes, the extra enzymes to get your pancreas.
Right, okay.
Okay, and then we'll talk about this next time and see if, you know, if that's an approach. But given, you know, before I see it in front of me, I like to see it in front of me, I think those bugs are going to need to be addressed. I just have a feeling that it's not going to be enough to just try to crowd them out. And we can talk about that. Okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Yeah, so Diana's saying, and this is something to keep in mind, it took a lot of these together to finally bring me to sleep. Everybody's a little different. We need to be looking at, you know, combinations. It's not like there's any one magic bullet, but the combinations, you know, in addition to your stress management techniques during the day. So I'm glad you're finally sleeping, Diana. Are you talking the, your Zymogen formula has magnolia and ashwagandha? Great. So that's a possibility as well. And Diana's saying that now she feels better during the day and doesn't have that crash in the afternoon. So, you know, there's definitely, I want you to feel hopeful about this, Sharon. We've identified some things and that's going to be good. And Jay says, Hano Pure is a magnolia extract from Eco Nugenics. So that's another one. So there's a lot of possibilities. And sometimes, you know, you hit it on the first try. And sometimes you have to try with a bit various and sundry combinations. ProAdapt is progesterone, Diana. Yep. So Lynn Rose, if someone is long-term total hysterectomy, what would be the source in the blood of estrone? You want to start looking at exogenous sources. I mean, certainly adrenals can produce some, but if you're talking high levels, then it's either they're taking hormones or they're taking plant, you know, phytoestrogens, or they've got some xenoestrogens that are cross showing. Sharon, check the chat. Like, a lot of people are putting up some good links for you to check out. And Diana also put in the custom free. Well, it's raining here now, Lynn Rose. It just took a half an hour to get here. We'll see if mine lasts more than an hour. Okay, so let's see. So your urine culture said, Claudia, you see, I know I didn't see in the Q&A, I've been over here. Urine culture, E. coli, vitamin D62, that's okay. C-peptide is low. Iron is 132, so the iron is a little bit high, and homocysteine is high. Okay, let's see. Yeah. I'm trying to find that. There's a whole bunch of other questions coming in. Just FYI, this is not a normal call where I can read labs. I just promised, I promised Sharon I would do it on this call because she was on the body balance call where we do read labs, and the ERC calls we read labs as well. And for some reason we stored it in the wrong place and I didn't have access to it, so I couldn't really go through it. So that's the only reason, because I don't want everybody to start uploading labs to me and say, read my labs. You've got to really be in a program that supports that, and really it's ERC, you get the most support with that. And then with body balance, we can do a little bit of that, but not as much as, like, with ERC, we have whole calls where we'll look through your labs and share it with you and share the screen and teach you what's in there and give you reports, et cetera. Interesting. Jem wants to know, have you knowledge of chondroitin sulfate being used as a supplement to help cardiovascular problems? I have not, actually. Mostly think of chondroitin sulfate as collagen and support for, you know, various things like disc problems and cartilage loss in the knees, et cetera. But, I mean, I guess it would depend on what the cause of the cardiovascular problem is. If there's some integrity of the vasculature, sure, that can certainly help it. I've seen it used for interstitial cystitis in the bladder. Jem, can one have a too high a B12 score? My range is above the GPS scan through on the last chest. Yes, so I would say the blood level of B12 is not an accurate measure. In my opinion, in my experience, the blood level of B12 is not an accurate measure. Assessment. What you need to know is if that goes high and you have like a methylation issue, it's high because a lot of it is not being methylated and put into the tissues. So I've seen them high, but I've actually seen people with B12 high in the serum, but the functional B12 numbers like methylmalonic acid, MCV, homocysteine being low. So I don't think it's necessary to stop. It's really hard to overdose on B12. I mean, unless you're taking like, you know, gallons of it every day. Yep. My rain lasted about a minute too. I'm taking a spray supplement. It feels like it's helping me. I'm doing well. Don't stop. Yeah. That's what I would recommend. Of course, I'm not going to, I'm not going to go against what your doctor says, but this is just in my opinion. All right. Lynn Rose. Okay, we got that one. Okay, so that's it. Claudia, I'm gonna do this because you're Claudia, and I'm looking to see if there's any other questions, but I really do need to wrap this up and going into your drive right now and see if I could see it really easily. But it sounds like you're gonna need to address that particular, the E. coli, and I think you also have that in your stool, if I'm not mistaken. So this is best if you submit it for us to review on our next NEPT call. I'll look real quick, but I do need to get off because I have another call coming up after this. Let's see, Claudia, Master Health Tracker. I'm assuming you put it in your folder, so I'm going to look there. Labs. And Claudia's from ERC and NEPT, and that's why I'm looking at her labs. So, Optimal DX labs. I don't see them. I don't see them in there. So you just gave me some numbers. With the low C-peptide, I don't remember if you had a high insulin or not. That's a good question to ask. Low C-peptide would give me an indication that you're not making a lot of insulin. But if the opposite is insulin high, then I'm going to have to really look at the numbers, and this is not the forum for doing that for me really to give my full attention to it. But as far as the E. coli, I would look in your herbal antibiotics book and see if you can find something that you haven't taken. And if you are going to do antibiotics to get rid of it, then you want to make sure that they're giving you something that's specific, not a generalized antibiotic. And just we can talk through it, talk about it on another call. Because I can't find it in your, can't find it in your labs. I don't see it in there. Yeah, I don't see it, Kaya. All right. I'm going to just refresh. Well, I need to see that in reference to hemoglobin A1C and insulin. So I'd have to look back at your previous. There was a reason I probably told you to do that. Let's see. All right, I'm going to go to C-peptide is an indicator of how the pancreas is functioning. And if we get low C-peptide function, it means that the pancreas may not be making enough insulin. So that's why I want to compare that to how much insulin you're actually making. Where's my... All right. So glucose, yeah, your glucose had gone up. And then your A1C... Your homocysteine's high, so you really need to be looking at the B6, B12, and folate to see why your homocysteine, because it was high before as well, and now it's a little higher than that still. You've gotten your iron up well, that's good. Your vitamin Z is decent, last time it was 88. And then where's your A1C and your insulin? I don't see you've ever done insulin, and your A1C was good. Yeah, so let's talk about this when we can really dig into it on our practitioner call, because there's some inconsistencies here, and just the C-peptide without the A1C, without the insulin. So at least it's not in your master tracker. Okay, let's see. Yeah, let's do it when we can really focus on it and we can see it and share the screen, because it's, you know, these calls aren't meant to do labs, and I have a hard time when I can't share the screen and show you stuff and really dig into it and I don't have it. So, yeah, I have to look back at your notes to see what my thought was in recommending C-peptide rather than insulin. All right. Sorry about that. It's just catching me off guard to be, you know, throwing labs on one of these calls, because this isn't the forum for doing it. Okay, so thank you, everybody. I don't see any more questions. I don't see any more hands up. And so we're going to call it a day. I'm going to hit the interactive and say bye to everybody. Thank you, everybody, for being here. 1, 2, 3, bye.
Thank you so much for your help.
You're so welcome. Keep us posted and make sure you come to the next call. Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Yeah.